Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Meeting of Wednesday, October 11th, 2023, called to order at 12:05 p.m. You want to go ahead with roll call?
Yes, I'll go ahead and proceed with roll call.
Thank you.
Alice Sangadi.
Sangadi, she's not here. She may join at 12:30.
Carlos Lozano.
Here.
Carol Griffith. Jeffrey Elwad.
Yeah, Jeff's Helen. Here. Oh, Jeff's there. Here, but Jeff, you need to unmute. There you are. Nope.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, here.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Perfect. Helen Erickson.
Here.
Jen Mulder?
Here.
Jennifer Lustig?
Here.
JJ Lamb?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Here.
Peter Steer?
Peter,
Ricky Real?
Peter was here. Peter's, are you on mute, Peter? Peter, because he said hello earlier. I don't know what to do. Should we just wait and see?
Yeah, we'll wait, and then I'll just finish off with roll call, and then we'll get back to him. Ricky Realhus?
Here.
Sandy Brook? Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Stephen Greedy?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Hagyard.
Here. Here.
And then, let's see, Peter Steer.
Yeah, I don't know. We can continue to ask, and I don't know what else to do because he's on the phone. What do you suggest? I mean, I can see his icon, but that doesn't mean he's there.
I think we should be fine. We'll get back to him.
Okay. All right.
He has to say he's there. Okay. Okay. According to, I believe he has to say he's there, even though his icon is showing. He has to show that he's present.
Absolutely. Peter? See, I'm afraid if he's calling in on his cell phone, if I text him, anyway. Why don't we go ahead and I'll text him in a minute here.
Okay.
Okay. Item 2 is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 9/13/23. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
This is Ricky, a motion.
Okay. Thank you, Ricky. Is there a second?
This is Jennifer.
Okay, I'll put you, Jennifer. Okay, is there any discussion of the minutes? Okay, if not, you can go ahead and call roll.
I'm sorry, Terry. Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwad?
Jeff, do you vote aye? Jeff?
I'll get back to him. Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lustig?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Dan Scoville?
Aye.
Peter Steer? Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Greedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
Okay.
Let's see if Jeff Elwand, is he still on? Did he?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm back. Sorry.
Okay. Did you vote aye on that motion or nay on the to approve the minutes?
Aye.
Okay. So can we include Jeff then? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so motion passes 13-0.
I have 14 with Jeff responding. So I had Carlos. Oh, no. You're right. Okay. You're right. Okay. And, Peter, can you hear us? Okay. So, let's move on to item 3, which is chairperson summary of current events. I don't have anything. If I do, I will, remember later. Item 4 is recently posted subcommittee minutes. They can be accessed at this link. And Jan, were you able to finally access these?
Yes, I was.
Oh, great. Okay. Thanks for updating that link, Carla. Okay. Item 5 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees. And we do have a request for the Historic Landscape Subcommittee to remove Alice Sadangi per her request and appoint Helen Erickson as a member of the subcommittee. So is this, would someone make that motion, please?
So moved. This is Steve Brady.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Jan.
Okay. Is there discussion? So I just wanted to point out that Helen has been serving as an advisor, which is not really a category that we have unless because she's a member of the commission now. So she was just sort of, she can, you know, attend meetings and so forth and all that. But now we need her to be a full member with Alice going off. So that's what this is about. So, all right. So if there's no further discussion, let's go ahead and call roll on this motion, please.
Okay. Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwan?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lovestick?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Peter Sear?
Aye.
Perfect. Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Greedy?
Aye.
Perry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
Motion passes 14-0.
Okay. Carla, do we want to put Peter down as joining at 12:13?
Yes.
Okay, Peter, we couldn't hear you before, but you're on now. Sure. And we can hear you clearly.
You disconnected me before I got back in.
Okay, cool. Thanks. I could still see your icon, though, so that's why we were confused. Okay, so let's move on to item 6, which is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 6A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office, and we have Jody Brown.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just have a few updates. I asked the city clerk to send out last week an article from HCD, and they were requesting any pictures that anybody may have of the Tucson House in conjunction with the grant that they received to redo it. So I just wanted to remind everybody, hopefully you read that, and if you have any pictures, feel free to forward it to HCD so they have those for their celebration. Another one is on the PDSD website, we have open right now the Casita Model Plan competition. There were 63 model plans submitted for this, and basically right now they're asking for the public's vote to figure out which ones that they like the best. I was looking through there earlier today, and they're pretty cool to check out. But essentially, They have a jury panel that will look at them, and the public vote counts for 10 points of the total 90 that they receive. The top 10 people, or the top 10 projects or casitas, will receive $1,000. Their plans will be added to the city's library for the casitas, and those projects, those particular ones, will be eligible to waive the building review fees. So I highly encourage everybody to check out it. It's right on the PDSD webpage. And then, as a reminder, the conference is coming up. It's quickly making its way here. It's hard to believe. It's almost the end of October. But if you haven't had a chance to register for the conference, I encourage you to do so. It is here in Tucson, and there's a lot of pretty cool sessions. JJ knows because she's been working on it, so she knows that there's really great tours, too, that are happening. So I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to register for the conference. And really, that's my only updates at this point. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Yeah, Jody, I wanted to ask you, did all the folks that wanted scholarships, were they able to get everything in, and are they, do you know if they yes. received those?
I forwarded their names to the SHPO office and gave them instructions. So basically it was on the people who were requesting it to just fly to fill in and register for the nomination – or the – sorry – register for the conference.
Yeah, Tim, you had a question.
Yeah, I inquired about that, but never received any information back about next steps. Besides, you know, there was a call out, who's interested. I said I was interested, and then nothing came to me unless I missed it somehow. But
that's weird.
Yeah, apologies. I don't think I may have not heard your request, but I will check with the SHPO office to see. I'm sure it's still open, but I'll clarify with them. I'm sorry I didn't hear your request for that.
Yeah, Jody. Whoever sent out the original email, I responded to them. I think they forwarded it to Terry, and then, you know, I got something back from Terry, and then that was it, so.
Yeah,
and I don't remember who the gal was, the other person who sent out the original email, but I think it was from the city of Tucson.
Yeah. Okay, Joel, did you have your hand up?
I would just like to receive the information, too. I somehow missed it myself. I'm sure it was my fault, but if we could send it to me again, that'd be great.
Okay, well, Jody has to provide your name. And Jan, are you also interested?
I signed up and I never received any confirmation or information that said, yes, you're signed up or registered. So,
yeah, I don't think that they sent that out.
Okay. Well, that was my question. Yeah.
I can ask them to make sure that they received yours, but.
Yeah, it'd just be good to know and not block out the time and find out you're not registered.
Yeah, and maybe find out, but everyone else who received a scholarship and knew about it, were they supposed to sign up and register and then register anyway on the website?
Right. Yes.
And everyone all the rest of you that requested a scholarship have done so? Yes.
Because
I know, Ken, you requested one. And part of this is that you have to attend commissioner training, which I believe is on, what, the Wednesday?
Right.
Yeah.
This is Ken. I received a confirmation, so I should assume that we're all ready to go for my – I signed up for the training, and I'm assuming I'm all scheduled.
Yeah, if you could help us out.
Was there a second link where you could sign up for the training? Because I didn't get that.
Yeah, I didn't either. So I signed up and then it was crickets.
Yeah, you're just registering for the conference.
Right.
Okay.
I'll ask to make sure that they received. Actually registered.
Yeah, and maybe if you get a list from them who they think our commissioners are that have signed up, then it would be helpful. So, okay, well, sorry about that, but I had a heck of a time signing up on the website and signing up at the hotel and so anyway.
On another note, I wanted to add, you had forwarded me an email about the Hacienda Hotel, Motel on, I sent out that email for you and Ken. As far as we know, the project is still moving forward. It's not being proposed for demolition. I asked the permit runner, if she had heard anything, and she was still, she's like me, is under the impression that it's still moving forward. The architect, I guess, was out of the country for a little bit, but they're still plugging away on the project.
This is Ken, if I can talk right now for a second on this. I would just like to communicate with the person, seeing what they're going to do as far as honoring the National Register and the other parts of the complex, and just say that we're here to help in any way we can help, and just sort of touch bases with them. And nobody seemed to have a phone number or way to contact them. So,
yeah, that's not information that I was provided.
Is there an email? Is there an email communication?
That's not information that I was provided. I don't have that.
When I go to development services, they must have a phone or email contact.
As far as I know, they can only provide the information that's publicly available anyways, but I didn't have owner information regardless. So the information that I got was actually from the Pima County Assessor site that showed the ownership.
Well, I'd still like to reach out. I don't know. I'll try and pursue it on my own a little bit. Got to be some way of communicating.
And I can let the permit runner, I mean, I see the permit runner fairly often, so I can let her know that, you know, if they have any questions. And so at least I'm putting it out there.
Yeah, and give her my phone number, my email contact, and whoever, if they could just communicate to them that this person's very familiar with the Historic District and the National Register and wanted to see if we could be a resource to help with your adaptive reuse or those kinds of things.
Will do.
Okay. Thanks, Jody. Any other questions for Jody?
Yeah, Peter with a question.
Go ahead, Peter.
You know, Jody, I was just wondering, what's the status of the investigation of the fiber optic people that went ahead without the monitors? Last time, I think you said you hadn't heard anything yet.
I haven't heard anything still. I haven't heard anything. I assume that they're still working on the report. I will make another note, to reach out to Desert Archaeology.
Okay, Desert Archaeology is doing the report, right?
Yeah, Desert Archaeology is doing the report.
But the fact that this fiber optic company went ahead after they knew they had to have a monitor and they didn't have one, what is the city of Tucson doing about that?
We've had meetings with them. They as the applicant, are having to pay for and complete the damage assessment. And so once we have the report, depending on, you know, what the report says, there could be further repercussions that they're going to have to address. We've also had, like I said, discussions with Cox Communications, because it was ultimately Cox Communications that didn't get the monitor out there, about improving their system as they move forward, and improving our system as we move forward, making sure that the inspectors know who has a waiver, who doesn't have a waiver, for doing the work out there.
So, Jody, basically, once you get the report from Desert, then the city of Tucson will move forward in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, depending on what the report says, to figure out what we need to do.
Yeah, would you make sure you forward the report to me whenever you get it done?
Will do.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Carlos, you had your hand up.
Thanks. Jody, just going back to the Tucson House and the Hacienda topic, I was hoping for some sort of a brief update at a future meeting on all these wonderful projects that are happening on Miracle Mile, converting the the historic motels to low-income housing, and I don't even know if I'm even aware of how many projects there are. There's Knotel, Amazon, and then Tucson House Now. Are these all under, and then I was hoping that Hacienda was a city project, and you're saying, you and Ken are saying, no, that's a private developer. Who would be the best person to just kind of bring us up to speed on Miracle Mile? Would that be Thrive in the 05, or are these Thrive in the 05 projects, or
They're HCD, the Housing and Community Development Department. They're putting these together. I can reach out to one of our contacts there and see if they can do like a presentation on the projects that they're working on. Not all of them are HCD projects like the Hacienda. But yeah, I can get that, talk to them and see when we can get them on the agenda in the future to kind of give an overview.
Yeah, because there's some great things happening there, and like I say, things that I'm not even aware of, and a lot of people ask me, you know, if I know about some of these things, and I don't, and so whoever's been doing these things has been, you know, just very modest and not, you know, telling us about their great accomplishments. But anyway, that's all I had.
Okay, thank you.
I will say that, you know, like the Knotel Motel and everything, those do go to PRS. So PRS has reviewed them and they're cognizant. So when it's a city project, they are going, and I expect that we will likely see the Tucson House too, when that's ready to roll at PRS. But I'll reach out to HCD and see about getting a presentation from them.
Thanks, Joey.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right, let's move on to item 6B, which is Pima County Cultural Resources. Linda and your staff. Or Courtney, are you presenting?
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Good afternoon. I'm Courtney Rose. I'll be substituting for Linda Mayro this afternoon. I have a few projects to update you on, and I will start with the Juan Santa Cruz Picnic Area in Tucson Mountain Park. The rehabilitation of the historic CCC built features is ongoing, and the entire picnic area is temporarily closed while the roof of the main picnic shelter is being rebuilt. Next, the Curly Gym Rehab, Ajo Town site. The project focus is rehabilitation of non-gym spaces at the rear or south end of the building. Interior demolition work is complete. Under slab plumbing is installed. New concrete floor has been poured and walls are being framed. Underground utilities are being installed from the street and a fire sprinkler system is being installed. Next, on the Teatro Carmen Rehabilitation Barrio Histórico, phase one of the project, a restoration of the facade along Meyer Avenue, is temporarily delayed until DEP moves its power lines and poles from in front of the building, which should happen within the next week or two. And the planning and design for rebuilding the roof are also underway. Next project is the Fort Lowell Park Historic Preservation in cooperation with the City of Tucson. Poster Myrto McDonald is preparing construction drawings for rehabilitation of two buildings that are priorities for the project, the commissary, which is one of the original fort buildings, and the Donaldson House. The Donaldson House is a later non-contributing building that will be used as office and meeting space for a nonprofit organization that will be selected for the interpretation of historic resources at the fort. The next project to report on is Mission Garden Landscape Restoration. The original scope of work to be funded by the National Park Service grant is being revised by Pima County and the Friends of Tucson's birthplace to take into account significant increases in the costs of materials and labor. The National Register nomination and listing of Tucson, Tucson's birthplace is a requirement of the National Park Service grant. Pima County's preparation of the nomination with the assistance of a contractor, Desert Archaeology, will begin soon, following a revision of the proposed nomination boundary, which will now take in Sentinel Peak as well as Mission Garden. The City of Tucson has granted permission to allow its Sentinel Peak parcels to be included in the nominated property. The next project I wanted to update you on is the Altar Valley Resource Management Plan. This has been ongoing over the past year, and we should have draft sections in as have been worked on by partners and stakeholders, and our internal Pima County interdisciplinary team should be in by the end of this year. It's due to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service by the end of the year in 2024. Brian Powell, the plan organizer, sent an email out to all stakeholder participants recently on the update. And we will be giving a possible, there's a small chance we might fit into the cultural preservation committees of the Autumn Nation this Friday to present an update on the Altar Valley Resource Management Plan. But most likely we'll be doing that presentation update on December 1st. And the CLG grant that I updated you on last month that we received from SHPO in support of one of the goals of the Altar Valley Resource Management Plan to conduct an inventory of the predicted high cultural sensitivity areas in Rancho Seco in the Altar Valley has been sent through all the administrative paperwork channels and hopefully will be on the agenda for Pima County Board of Supervisors on October 17th for approval. And we are looking forward to the conference in a couple weeks as well. And I believe that's all I have for you in terms of updates, but you might have questions.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Courtney? Well, if not, thank you for that very thorough report, Courtney.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, Ken, you have a question. Go ahead.
Yes, Courtney. I gave a tour at Fort Lowell on Monday. The Atkins property really needs some roof maintenance. If they can get a little extra money, just have somebody inspect the roof, because you just don't want it leaking into the property. And the Atkins roof is in really bad shape. So if there's any discretionary funds to just get a roofer over there and see if you can patch up something or do something on it.
Thank you, Commissioner Scoville. I'll talk to Linda Mero and Scott O'Mac about that need for the roof repair.
Look at it. Maybe just a couple of patches will hold it through. If we ever get rain again, it'll hold it through the rain.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you both. Okay, let's move on to item 6C, City of South Tucson. Is Joshua Lycia here today? If not, we have no report on that one. We'll move on to 6D, which is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. Jorge Castillo? Thought I saw Jorge somewhere. Yes. There he is.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. I'm having problems with my camera here. I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, phase 3 and 4, the bid is still on the street, as they say, for construction. That phase is from Palo Verde to Venice, which is west of Swan Road. And the only other update I have is that, bids are due at the beginning of November. There was a slight extension of about 10 days that they were originally due at the end of October. There were some comments. And so they've been extended. The proposals will be due on November the 6th. So we will move forward from that point. And just to say that the end of the month is Ciclovia, October 29th. the Living Streets Alliance major project for bicycle mobility. And that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Jorge. Are there questions? No? Okay. Thanks again for that report. We'll move on to item 7, which are commission, subcommittee, and other committee, council, commission status reports. 7A is plans review subcommittee. Jody, do you want to update on anything?
No, just remind everybody that tomorrow is PRS. And if you haven't already gotten back to me, whether or not you can attend, or Terry, I should say, please let us know so we can confirm our quorum. We do have Barrio San Antonio National Register nomination on the agenda for tomorrow, and then the next meeting will be October 24th. It was moved to accommodate the conference, but we will have Campus Farms on the 24th for PRS to make comments on. So I was spreading them out because there's a lot of reading. So if you have any questions, really that's – I mean, we have a couple other review items from Fort Lowell and West University, but everybody's welcome to attend. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Okay. Ken, did you have a question? Ken, you're muted. Ken.
Is it possible for me to get a copy of the nomination for the Campus Farm?
Yeah, I can send that to you.
Okay. All right. Helen, you had a question? You're on mute.
Yes, my question is the same. I would like to see a copy of that nomination.
Send it out.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Anyone? Ken, did you have something else?
No, I'm just trying to get my thing to go away.
Okay. All right, I can put it down for you. I'll put it down. There you go.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jody. Item 7B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Hager.
Hi, yes. We did finally meet again this past Monday, October 2nd. Andy Bemis, he's from the city of Tucson, presented about there's a Department of Transportation, a website that has called Move Tucson Network, and that's a compilation of all the sort of different transportation, either in progress or in the future, projects that are, you know, being done. So it's, you know, all in kind of one place, and you can go to some maps and click on things and kind of see what the status is and, you know, what's taking place. So it's kind of an interesting, integrative, you know, place to go. And I can share a link to that or email a link if anybody wants, or you can just, you know, Google Move Tucson Network and you can find it. Also, there was a discussion about moving the meetings because they've been having a hard time getting folks there to present, to go to either quarterly or bi-monthly or keep monthly. The consensus was they're going to go to a bi-monthly meeting. So that's better than the quarterly. I wasn't too keen on that. I just figured it'd start dying away if we start moving to that. There's going to be a home tour in the El Presidio neighborhood April 7th of 2024. So that's something that hasn't happened for a long time, and they're going to bring that back. Also from the El Presidio neighborhood, there's the docks, which is a section over in El Presidio that's up against the train tracks. It's there's a development plan there that they've been working on for decades. I guess one of the most recent developments there is they realized the train has a right-of-way or an easement on part of that property. So a lot of their plans that they were hoping to do there to make it financially viable are now she needed to see if the train, for lack of a better term, I don't know, you know, if it's Pacific Railroad or whoever who owns that right away, will allow them to build on that. So that's, you know, a complicated process, anything to do with the trains. That was, you know, pretty much it for the meeting.
Great. Thank you, Tim. Are there any questions for Tim? And I was just going to ask, if anyone is not muted and is rustling a lot of papers, please mute yourself, because it could get distracting. Thank you. Okay, 7D, no, 7C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady?
Yes, thank you. The Historic Landscape Subcommittee did not meet in the previous month, and so there's nothing to report. I had a quick question for Jody. What was the status of the Presidio, I forget the name of the streetscape project? Do you have an update on that?
They, well, the reviews that they did were still the courtesy reviews. They'll be coming back through for the formal reviews. I expect that we, they'll have to go to the, there was a lot of discussion when it went to El Presidio Historic Zone Advisory Board, quite a bit of discussion, and some concerns that they have. So I expect that they are working on those right now. But we'll be sending it back through once they formally submit.
Thank you, Jody.
Thanks. Okay, Jody, that the meeting with El Presidio, the Historic Zone Advisory Board, that was a courtesy review as well?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so then, okay, I see. All righty, thank you. 7D is Transportation Subcommittee.
Thanks. Let's see, I'll go quickly. I-11, nothing new. RTA, nothing new. Rio Nuevo, I'll report in November. And then on Norte Sur, high-capacity transit project, Transportation Subcommittee met with DTM project manager Ian Sansom and for a phase two update. If you remember, that's the high-capacity transit project, which is going to go from up on the north side down to the airport. And they're currently doing a land assessment in advance of proposing an alignment. So this is not going to, I mean, I don't know if we can hope for a traditional historic inventory. They're going to be looking at what they refer to as legacy businesses, which would be historic, and they have a stated goal of retaining those legacy businesses. So that's good. But it'll be interesting to find out how the different proposed routes compare. They're also looking at some gentrification studies. We do know that light rail will cause much more gentrification than what they're proposing, which is like bus rapid transit system. And then another thing that we found out is that the north side is going to go first on this project. And so I think that's kind of good, because then the south side will be able to see what the north side looks like, depending on how long it takes to get built. And so if it's not working as anticipated or something, then the south side will be able to, I mean, might be able to modify what's happening. So that was interesting as well. Now, they don't have an alignment, but we are sort of hoping that it would be Oracle rather than Stone, because Oracle is much wider. There would be no question that they could do it within the given right-of-way. And there's potentially more vacant land, potentially fewer historic resources, but the crux of the issue is that we need to compare what happens with a planned development that would get an overlay versus other unplanned development that just goes according to the free market. So So that's what transportation is going to be looking at before we can actually, before TPCHC would make a formal recommendation on an alignment, because there's a lot more information that we need to gather. Okay, so moving on to TEP, what they're referring to now is the Midtown Reliability Project. That's the 138 kilovolt high voltage power lines, 10 stories high, going straight from the heart of Tucson. The latest on that, they're really not discussing undergrounding anymore, which is tragic. The proposed route will be going to the siting committee of the Arizona Corporation Committee or Commission by mid-2024. There'll be a map update going out to the public before then, later this fall, probably with some proposed alignments. And they are not planning on running the large poles down residential streets, so they'll keep them on some combination of arterials. And then we're waiting for a decision on the 25th from the Board of Adjustment hearing whether they are going to be held to undergrounding the lines along the Campbell Scenic Corridor. But they may just avoid that corridor, which is not, that's not a win, because if it doesn't go in front of Sam Hughes, it's certainly going to go in front of or through some other historic zone or district. So, and I don't think that we should get put into a position of recommending one, you know, marring one district over another. So this is going to be tough. I really think we should continue to recommend undergrounding. We've made that recommendation to the Board of Adjustment and to the Zoning Administrator and to TEP themselves, and so I really don't know what else we can do. Next year we can make a recommendation to the Arizona Corporation Commission, and outside of that I really don't know what else we can do. A separate item is similar to TEP. Their transportation is going to be reviewing a cellular infrastructure project, which is similar but not as big by any means, and I'll report on that in November. And that's all I have for right now.
Great. Thank you. Ken had a question, I believe.
Well, I just wanted to add, I guess, just the debate between using the Stone Avenue or Oracle Road. Typically, a light rail, that's where you're going to want to add more density and more housing and everything. And just Oracle is the perfect corridor because you have all these large parking lots that you could add a parking garage and then put an 8 or 10 story condo tower all this along all that way, and keeping Stone more of an historic streetscape, or could be pedestrian combination. And just Oracle Road is the perfect alignment, and especially with the remake of Tucson Mall, that would really make sense to be Oracle and then have to get over to Stone later on. But I think we should start thinking early about advocating for Oracle. That's my own opinion, but I wanted to ask.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. Here, Helen, you're on mute.
Hi. It doesn't like to unmute. I was just asking, has anything been done about surveying the buildings on Stone, the historic buildings? Because I think in line with what Ken has just said, you know, the preponderance of the historic buildings are on Stone, and that would be a reason to recommend the Oracle approach.
Yeah, they're doing what they're calling a land assessment, and again I don't know how in depth that's going to be historically. They're going to be looking at unutilized, also vacant, also what they refer to as underutilized, and so I think that it will come out in favor of Oracle. But just to be clear, remember, so this is the concept is that planned development along a certain route that has an overlay could be better than doing nothing in the long run. That's the thing that we just don't know. Now We are tending to think that Oracle would be better no matter what, but we wouldn't want to make that. We just don't know for certain just yet. So see, that's, and if there are any studies that can support one way or the other, I'd like to see them. And so they're not talking about light rail, which light rail always brings gentrification no matter what you do, but this is just like a souped up bus system. So I hope I made that clear, and we'll be looking at that, you know, very carefully.
Helen, I just wanted to add, Bob Vint did an inventory of historic resources on stone quite a few years ago. Probably needs to be updated in some things, but he did do an inventory.
Ken, do you have that inventory available to share with Carlos? Well,
I could certainly ask Bob Vint to send us a copy. I'll do that.
Ken, that might have been the Brownfield report that my company did years ago, and I think it was a Corps of Engineers project, and we may have hired Bob to do something historic about the buildings. It mostly focused on the warehouse district.
It was Stone, north on Stone, north of Grant.
Oh, okay, then it's different. Yep, okay.
But I'd like to see that Brownfield study. I was looking for that for years. That would be great to see.
Oh, it's about 15 volumes, so I don't think back in the day we did anything digital. So I don't even know if we have a copy. So, yeah, let me know sometime, and I'll see what I can find out about it at work.
All right, great.
It was massive.
And then maybe we should – I mean, I can request more of a historical inventory in addition to the land assessment. I mean, it can't hurt to try.
I think that would be wonderful. I would definitely push for that. And I'm wondering, again, you know, we've done the cultural asset mapping, if that would be a fairly simple tool to use in that context, that at least would give us a basis for supporting our ideas.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, don't forget, we have the Miracle Mile Historic District nomination, which really acts as an extremely thorough historic assessment. So what we're lacking is stone. So.
Okay, I think we need to move on with our other reports. So thank you, Carlos, and everyone. Item 7E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Sorry, I'll be brief. The commission met on the 5th of this month. Big part of the meeting was to organize their retreat and strategic planning process that they're initiating. But the major action during the meeting was voting and approving their Tucson Affordable Housing 2030 goal, which is really just to help them focus and advocate for funding opportunities, and most particularly a bond initiative. And then I just have some notes here, some numbers for you. Their goal is going to be to take our current total of affordable housing units at 10,900 up to 15,000 by 2030, which is a 40% increase. But noted that the deficit of affordable housing units right now, which are at or below the 50% area median income, is almost 30,000. So still will be in deficit, but trying to get to a realistic number and an improvement over the current situation. So
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Thank you, Savannah. Item 7F is Budget Subcommittee, and I don't have a report at this time. 7G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee. Commissioner Elwand?
Hi, yes. Well, I don't have anything to report for this month, but do have some exciting news. My apologies to JJ and Tim for not calling a meeting this month. But the possibility has arisen of a significant training opportunity for commissioners has arisen, that's funded, subject to the approval of the subcommittee, we'll be presenting further details, to the committee, next month. But it looks exciting. It looks like something we could really use. And, it's tentatively set for January 2024. It'll be available both, we understand it's going to be available both in person and in, on the net. And, it's in Chandler. Anyway, it's an opportunity for those who want to improve their skills, and it may very well be something that's going to be required as we try to move up our level of expertise in these areas. So, exciting news coming up next month, I hope, as I say, subject to the subcommittee's approval, and we'll give you some more details then. Thanks.
Okay, Jeff, we should really talk about that because there's a process for getting all that approved before we roll it out. You know what I mean? So we should probably – you've got my phone number, yes?
I'll email you
and we should figure out a time to talk and I can help you get your agenda set up and for your meeting and so on. So that'd be great.
Okay, yes, that'd be great. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, item 8 is update on city outreach to property owners and historic districts regarding potential impacts of code changes. Jody, have you been able to work on any of this in your free time?
That's a joke. I actually got a little bogged down. I'm like working on it literally right now, and I expect to have it out today. I will forward it to the commission members so they can also take a look at it. But yes, I'm getting fingers. I'm getting it out today.
I'll just say almost ready, possibly out today.
Yes. Out today. Great. Out today. Not possibly. Out today.
Out today. Great. Okay. Item 9 is update on Pima Community College owned historic motels on Drachman. And I've got Commissioners Lozano, Scoville, anyone who wants to update.
I'm probably the best person to update. I've been going to the Pima Community College board meetings and doing call to the audience, and we've had a little bit of movement that they're going to go ahead and start a committee. They've already invited me to be on representing historic preservation and also
the historical
commission. That's the good news. The bad news is the legal department is going to take the position that all the commitments they did during Thrive and 05 were not binding. And so they seem to be backing out of the financial commitments. I've still got to do more research on how binding were they and how much is this politically driven by the current board and lots of other messy stuff. But hopefully, maybe next month, we're supposed to send the invites out to different people that they're selecting to be on this committee to look at the historic buildings and what could be done. But obviously, if they want to pull all the millions of dollars that they committed to Thrive in 05, and we're supposed to just find money on our own, most times everything wants a match. And I'm concerned about what the final results are going to be of this committee, but I've hung out enough there with enough call to the audiences that I will at least get to be on the committee. But lots of interesting issues at the college board level, and we'll just keep working on it.
Great. Thank you, Ken. Carlos?
I didn't have anything else except for to ask if you're sort of the historian at large on the committee, are there other stakeholders? Should there be a TPCHC representative on the committee?
Well, that's what I'm sort of waiting for. They have not told me who all they're inviting yet. So I'm going to just do another call to the audience and ask, you know, it'd be great to make sure that everybody that's on there should be invited in all of this. So it's baby steps.
Okay.
And so we're working on this.
Okay, thanks, Ken.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 10, which is City of Tucson African American Survey Phase 1, and Commissioner Levsick, in wearing her other hat, her work hat, is going to present on that. Now, I just want to say, now, Steve, you have to leave at 25 after. Yeah, okay, so we'll just be mindful of the time, but we want to have Jen's presentation here. So are you able to share your screen?
I'm connected.
Who's joining? Is that Sandy?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I'm late.
Okay, that's okay. So let's just note that you joined at 1:01 p.m. Do you have that, Carla?
Yes, I have it noted.
Okay, great. Thanks. And Sandy, we're just presenting. Yeah, we're just having a presentation now on the city's African American survey.
I just had too many seizures this couple of weeks.
Okay, well, we're glad you're on.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you need to get permission to share, Jen? Oh, there you go.
There you go. Yeah, it was smaller when I was trying to share before. So, I'll keep it brief since we're running short on time. But Jody just wanted me to provide an update to the commission on one of the current projects that the city of Tucson is doing. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to work on this. Let me see if I can shift here. There we go. So I just want to give a little brief overview of what the project is. This is a project that started about last year with a certified local government grant that the SHPO offered to the city of Tucson for this grant application that they put in. And part of it is the concerted effort on the city of Tucson's part to start creating survey reports and projects for the documentation of underrepresented communities. So, for example, the city of Tucson did one for an Asian American survey in the previous grant cycle. So this is another one of those kinds of projects, and this is on Tucson's African American community. So this is a two-phase project. As grant funds go, there's never enough money, enough grant funds to pay for everything we want to do. So we're doing this project in two phases. So the first phase is the one that we're completing now. I'm working on wrapping up that report to submit to Jody soon. And that phase includes essentially a database, a field survey, and public outreach component. So that's the current project. And essentially what we're doing in this first phase is we're trying to identify all of the extant historic resources associated with Tucson's African American community. So those would be districts, neighborhoods, buildings, landscape sites, those sorts of things. And what we've done for this survey is that instead of just cutting off at the normal 50-year criterion or 50-year requirement, we've extended it to 1978 just so that this document has a little more utility beyond that 50-year mark so that, you know, the city can use this as a management tool for a little bit longer. And then the phase two, which we put a grant application in, but it wasn't funded this year, so we're hoping for funding in the following year. And then that phase two piece will include a larger historic context of Tucson's African American history. And then the goal would also be to create a story map so that there is an opportunity. It could be hosted by the city of Tucson, maybe the Historic Preservation Office's web map maybe, and create a story map so that, you know, you could go visit some of these places, know where they are, have a little bit of a history on them if you click on the map, those sorts of things. So, and then the picture that you're looking at here on this screen is the Paul Lawrence Dunbar School, and that was the first school established, expressly built for African-American students. The first African-American school was actually in what used to be called the Stone Cipher Bakery off on 6th and 6th. This is the original part of the Dunbar School. There's two pieces of the Dunbar School. So this is the 1918 section, and then there's a 1940 section. And some students with Morgan Maxwell, who was the second principal of Dunbar, is also the gentleman and one of the teachers or principals in the picture as well. And then just to give you guys kind of a real overview of what the inventory results are so far. So we have found 54 resources, and that within those 54 resources, those includes, you know, six of them are in neighborhoods. A lot of them are the largest property, you know, number of properties we've identified have been, you know, domestic or residential properties, followed by churches. So those are the sort of the highest percentages of the types of resources that we're finding. Generally speaking, the lowest number of resources are commercial properties, in large part because a lot of the African-American owned businesses and or businesses that cater to African-Americans were in that urban renewal area where the Tucson Convention Center stands. And so we lost a lot of those commercial properties during that time period. And so there hasn't been that same rebuilding as a result of urban renewal efforts. And then within the city of Tucson, we've identified at least 14 properties that have been demolished that were of significance at one point or another, Beau Brummel Club being an example of one. And then, again, keep in mind our project area is limited to the city of Tucson, so that does not include anything out immediately outside of Tucson. So, for example, there's at least five other properties that we identified that while they're very, very close to Tucson, they are not within our boundary area, but they're definitely worth further study. And those, for any of you who are familiar with it, this has kind of long been gone, but there's a Cowtown Culaco that's in Three Points area, and that was an old Wild West town. There's a Ward Homestead, which is an archaeological site. There's Mountain View Hotel, which is in Catalina, and El Casino Ballroom, for those of you familiar with that, in South Tucson. That was one of the few dance halls and ballrooms that, it was largely a Mexican-American ballroom, but it was also one of the few places where African-Americans can come to integrated events. They could have weddings, parties, you know, join their, you know, fellow neighbors in South Tucson and go to events without being excluded or segregated from them. And then the other place immediately outside of Tucson that was sort of interesting to us.
Did we lose you?
No, I don't think so. Can you not hear me?
Yeah, this is Sandy.
This is Ricky. I can hear you, Jen.
I can hear you.
I can hear you, Jen.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you, Jen.
Okay, great. Anyway, yeah. So the town of Rito is essentially kind of sort of halfway between Marana and Tucson, and it started out as a Yaqui hamlet, and then following the desegregation of schools and integration, most of the farm workers, the migrant farm workers that worked in Marana that were African-American, moved into the town of Rito when they were essentially kicked out of Marana. So that's kind of an interesting little story for another time. But the pictures that you're looking at here, so the top left picture is the back of Marist College. And this is just a picture of some of the school children there. Marist College, one of the interesting things about Marist College, beyond the fact that it is the tallest adobe building in the city and possibly the state of Arizona, is that it was also a racially integrated boarding school. And so lots of Buffalo soldiers from Fort Huachuca, a lot of times they'd send their children there. And this is one of the few schools that went through high school if you were African-American. There were no, so Dunbar, for example, did not go through high school. So if you are African-American, you either terminated at eighth grade or you had the opportunity to go to Tucson High for the last part of your high school career. And then the other picture here in the corner, which I think is a really fascinating story for, again, some more research at another time, but we'll touch on it in the document that we're preparing, is this woman is Margaret Campbell, and she is the first African-American novelist in Arizona. And she's one of the things that she's actually well known for in Tucson is that she, when she moved out here for her health, she just started excavating a cave underneath her house. And so it has several rooms. And it's in South Park neighborhood. The house is still there. I think the cave has been filled in. But anyway, so she had this large, very cavernous house where she had multiple rooms and teach piano lessons and became a novelist, sort of sci-fi kind of fantasy novel. So it's pretty fascinating. If anybody's interested in learning more about Margaret, she seemed like quite the character. And then lastly, just a couple of pictures here, a few pictures here just to kind of share with some of the types of properties that we've had and some of the work that we're doing. So in the top left-hand corner is the Spanish Trail Motel, which many of you are probably very familiar with, and it's kind of falling into ruin right now. But that was one of the properties that we identified through the Motorist Green Book. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with that, but that was a travel guide for African-Americans, so it alerted them to places where they were allowed to stay during segregation. And the Spanish Trail Motel was one of those places that was in the Green Book as a place for African-Americans to stay when they were traveling. It also had a large event space there, too, where people could have parties and weddings and things like that. So it was another place, if you're African American, you could go for events. In the bottom corner, there's an example of a cornerstone from one of the many churches. I think there's at least 13 churches that we've identified. You know, some of the earliest are from the early 1900s, but most were like in the 20s and 30s. And then right below that, or next to that, is the Ulysses S.K. House. That's in Barrio Viejo. And Ulysses S.K. was a very prolific and well-respected jazz musician. And that is his home. And then in the opposite side here, in the middle there, kind of in the top right, is a picture from one of the public outreach events that we attended for the Barrio Stories. And this was for the A Mountain neighborhood. And then Barbara Lewis and her brother are the speakers in this event. And they were talking about growing up in A Mountain neighborhood, which was one of, and is one of the largely African-American, you know, neighborhoods in Tucson. It was established by an African-American returning war veteran. He started homesteading properties. And so it was a place where if you were a veteran, African-American veteran, and you had an opportunity to purchase land and live in a subdivision after the war was over, since many of the subdivisions had codes and covenants and restrictions that barred their residency. And then next to that is a mural of Quincy Douglas, who had several homes. We identified three of her homes here in Tucson, and she was a very well-respected, you know, advocate. Lots of, you know, what sort of the thing that she's most famous for in Tucson anyway is her establishment of the VANS program, which was basically transportation for disabled low-income folks. And she was living in the – she lived in Dunbar. She lived in South Park neighborhood, too. And then right below that is – one of the ongoing projects that Pima County has. This is the Elks Lodge, which is attached to Carmen Teatro. And this was the only fraternal Elks organization for African Americans in Tucson. And this is their original location. And it's currently under rehabilitation as part of the new facade improvement programs for Carmen Teatro. And you can see some of the photos there on the walls showing members from the Elks Lodge. And that was around 1940 or so. And with that, I will wrap it up and like let anybody ask questions if they have any.
I have a question.
Sure. I think that Helen was first, and then we had Ken. And who was the other person?
Sandy.
Okay, Sandy, why don't you go first, and then we'll have Helen and Ken. Go ahead.
Okay. My question is, amongst all of the, I don't have pictures in front of me. Amongst all of the, communities, when I was growing up at South Park and 36, there was a very large African American group community, and my parents used to. I went with my parents to some of the best barbecue I've ever had. To meet up with their friends, their African American friends. I wonder, do you have that?
There are a couple of barbecue restaurants in the South Park area. Some of them have changed ownership. A couple of them have, the building still exists, but they're no longer occupied, as barbecue joints anymore. But we do have, I think three of them are in our inventory. Yeah, there's the one on 22nd is probably, you know, one of the most popular ones right now. That's not South Park. That's outside of South Park, though.
But the community at South Park and 36 is no longer there, correct?
I mean, that whole area, there are like three kind of adjoining neighborhoods in and around South Park, Pueblo Gardens, places like that, that are all largely African American, or we've identified as, you know, African, what we consider African American neighborhoods. So yeah, there's quite a bit African American occupation still in that area.
Okay, thank you very much.
Lots of churches and things like that there too. Yeah.
Great, thank you. Helen?
Yes, a very simple question. When can we see your report?
I am madly trying to finish it up. It's turned into quite a giant undertaking. So right now I have all of this data that I just have to clean up so that it's user-friendly and trying to figure out how to condense down a lot of data. But the goal is to be able to get it to Jody within the next 2 months, if not sooner.
Great. Thanks.
Yep. Right,
thanks, Ken.
Yes, when I and Damien, we were involved a lot with the Beau Brummel Club. Just south of Beau Brummel, north of Speedway on the east side, there was a motel that black baseball players stayed at, Satchel Paige and others, when they would be playing the Cleveland Indians in the winter spring training games. And so I don't know if you put that on the inventory. It's long gone, but there may still be some newspaper pictures.
Right.
And a
in the green. There's been several things that are gone. We do have the Chester Willis House, which is also where Satchel Paige stayed, and several other baseball players came and stayed with that family. And every time they were in town for spring training, they would stay with that family. So at least we still have some representation of that left.
But at least a note, there ought to be some notification that there was a motel specifically there at that location, that sports players. And when I was at the U of A, Fred Snowden made a big splash as the basketball coach.
Yes.
And so I don't know. And we probably got him in there also, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So we do have – the interesting thing is that the Fred Snowden house that we have in the inventory is not actually the house that he ended up living in, because it wasn't historic. But the one that sort of created a lot of fuss was that he tried to purchase a property. I can't remember if it was Glenman Elm, which neighborhood it was, but I'd have to look at my database. But the reason we have that house in there is because it created a big court case about codes, covenants, restrictions about them not being allowed to purchase a property in this neighborhood, even though they were wealthy, successful African Americans. So, that's in the inventory.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yep, sure.
Thanks, everyone. Last opportunity for questions. Anyone else? Well, Jennifer, thank you very much for that presentation, and we look forward to seeing the report, and it seems really comprehensive. Well done.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to item 11, which is Plan Tucson update. Jody or Corin or Helen?
Well, this is Helen. I attended the land use meeting on the 21st of September, and it was, I think, very well run. I haven't gotten back to anybody about the heritage part, but I'll keep trying.
Okay. Jody or Corin, if you're there, do you have anything to add? I think you're on mute, Jody. I can't hear you. But it doesn't show you on mute. It's weird. Okay. Weird. Sorry about that. Okay, and Corin's not on? No? Goodness. Oh, now you're on mute, Jody. Now see if you can unmute.
Hear me now?
Yeah, turn up your speaker, maybe.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Oh, you can hear me now?
Yeah.
I don't know what the difference is between now and when I spoke earlier, but Corin, she is on, but I think she stepped away from her computer. Here she's
back.
Was
there a question?
Just an update on the Plan Tucson?
Yeah, we have held a first round of working group meetings. So each of the five working groups have met once. The first meeting was focused on vision. The next meeting We have scheduled the next round of meetings. It's over the next 4 to 5 weeks. And those will focus on beginning to develop goals for each of those focus areas. So, you know, I know several commissioners are participating in those working groups. So the next conversations will really start to get more into the meatier conversation around goals, and then the subsequent meetings will focus on policy.
Okay. Have any other commissioners attended reports that they want to report back on? No? Okay. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Let's move on then to item 12, which is commission representative to Pima Prospers. Courtney, do you have anything on that?
Yes, I do have a brief update I can share with you. Just wanted to let you know that Mena Bendra, Changokote, and I are working from our department, are working with Mark Holden from Development Services on the cultural resources section. And I did get an update from Mark Holden, and the Pima Prospers website is still under construction. When it is up and running, it will include an ArcGIS hub site. I'm assuming that's an interactive map that would go along with the website that would allow for comments. Once the draft plan sections from the Pima County departments are submitted, they will be posted on the website, and there will be opportunities to comment on the website itself. And things are moving kind of slowly. There was, you might remember a couple months ago, I brought up an outline. It was a preliminary draft outline that Development Services came up with, and it placed cultural resources under built environment, and I know Commissioner Scoville had some comments about that, and that cultural resources falls under a lot more than built environment. And so I was able to discuss this with Mark Holden, and this is all very preliminary and is not written down yet, but he suggested a section that would include open space, and it would be called, and cultural resources, and it would be called natural, physical, and heritage environment. But this is still preliminary. But, I just wanted to let you know that, that is being worked on. The, along with the website that is still under construction, Development Services will be advertising to stakeholder groups. And we'll be meeting with those stakeholder groups in person, so they'll be having one-on-one meetings, and that will include the Tucson-Pima County Historical Commission.
Great. Thank you, Ken. Did you have a question?
Yes. I just sort of recently discovered this, that the Santa Cruz Valley Heritage Overlay, it also includes the Catalina Mountains. So I think Pima Prospers ought to just, you know, make that a notation, and that we're part of that whole heritage plan that's recognized by the National Park Service. And obviously we're big those other things, but Campbell, the impact of Murphy and Jostler, Hacienda del Sol, the historic resources that are out there, are also recognized by that Santa Cruz overlay.
Mm.
Great.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Item 13. Before I go on to item 13, do you need to get off in about a minute, Steve?
That is true.
Yeah. If you want to just wave when you're off, and then Anna or Carla, can you see Steve so that you know when he's leaving, you can note that?
Yes, I'll go ahead and note it.
Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And thanks, Steve. Okay, item 13 is update and discussion on process and progress of commission separation. 13A is City of Tucson. Jody, do you have any other related information to this, or?
No, we're, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. We're continuing to work with the county on some of the updates that may go forward. As always, we'll present them to the commission, but other than that, we don't have any updates right now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, 13B is Pima County. Courtney, do you have anything you would like to add?
Yes, very briefly. After the decision was made by the Pima County Board of Supervisors to maintain the Joint Commission, Pima County staff decided that it would be a good idea to meet with the City of Tucson regularly to kind of ensure that the process and any changes going forward are consistent and in line. So City of Tucson and Pima County are in line and consistent. And our next meeting with Jody and the City of Tucson will be October 28th. And Pima County just recently came up with a general schedule for some tax code audits that staff will resume. As you might remember, there are some language, pieces of language that would need to be added to the code, such as including the Historical Commission and updates in general. And these, we would like to present those in February of 2024 to the Historical Commission, and we're hoping to request that be put on the agenda for discussion. And then following that, we might have subsequent study sessions that commission members may request on any of the proposed tax code audits that we'll be working on. And then Pima County staff will follow up and refine any updates based on input. And we're hoping that in April of 2024, we can send a draft code changes to the county attorney. And then in June of 2024, we're hoping that the approved amendments would go to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then we're hoping that by the summer of 2024, they would go to the Board of Supervisors. And that's what we have so far as a suggested schedule.
Great. Thank you for that update. So 13C is Commissioner Scovel and Erickson. Do you have anything to add to this point, to these points?
I would like, this is Helen. I would like to add, first of all, that we really appreciate the approach that Pima County is taking on this, and we're extremely pleased that we can be partners with you in this development. So that part is great, and I would hope that we could establish an approach there that would also be undertaken by the City of Tucson, so that we're consistent in how we work with our subgroups or, you know, constituencies there. Thank you very much, Courtney.
Great. Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay. Item 14, then, is study of the history of the commission. Helen and Ken?
Yes, this is Helen. First of all, you know, we have a number of points that were recommendations passed as part of this report, which means that it doesn't just go on the shelf. We actually have to now do some follow-up work to implement some of these things. And the study group has been thinking about the best way to proceed with this, probably by specific task forces. And Terry, I need to talk to you about this. Appointed for the purpose of dealing with individual elements within that report. And rather than trying to create a subcommittee or something like that, because the recommendations are, as you know, sort of all over the map. And, you know, there are subcommittees, for example, the education subcommittee is starting to work on some of those issues. And again, I think this is something that is just coming up. Yesterday, the study group met with Christina Swallow, and I think that we were able to start the conversation that has been missing for the last couple of years, and I think that there are real possibilities of having a very productive outcome to all of this, and we're very grateful for that. Ken?
I guess one thing, at least that I felt, maybe being background as a teacher, I think education is going to be a key component in training and in-service for the commissioners, because I know when I came on the commission, I was sort of in the dark about what's my role, what's the background, and all the research I did with the archives on the commission at the Historical Society, that was really a lot of insight, and I had a much greater understanding of the goals, hopes, and dreams, and why the historic preservation zones and the efforts of the founders with all of this, how important it is, and that needs to be communicated much more clearly to all the commissioners and new people that join. So that's one area that if I can help with that, I certainly would like to. And I just think people being more aware of how this whole thing got started and the ordinance and the special unique aspects of the HPZs, all of that needs to be more in service.
And Jeff, this and your subcommittee, you've got a big job ahead of you.
Yeah. Okay. I need to ask Commissioner Levstick has to jump off. Carla and Anna, are we okay? We still have 12 after Jen jumps off, yes? Because we lost Steve Grady, and if we lose Jen, then we're down to 12.
Let's go ahead and take roll call really quick.
Okay, well, and I think we still have Sandy as well, so I think we should be fine. But let's go ahead and do roll call. Jen, you can jump off if you need to, and we'll just see where we stand, okay? Go ahead.
All right. Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Jeffrey Elwad?
Here.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
Jen Mulder?
Here.
J.J. Lamb?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Cam Scoville?
Here.
Peter Spear?
Here.
Ricky Riojas?
Here.
Sandy Brook?
Here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Seth and Greedy? No, he left. I'm sorry. Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Haggard?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have 13.
Yep. Very good.
Okay. Thank you for checking. All right. Let us, okay. Let me just get back to where I was. Sorry. Item 15 is Tucson's birthplace, Tucson Origins Park historic landmark status. And I have Jody, Linda or Courtney, Commissioner Steer and Commissioner Sadangi's not on. Does anyone have a report on this?
I do not.
Peter?
Can you hear me? I just lost you for a second.
No, I can hear you.
What was the question?
Do you have anything on the Tucson Origins Park, Tucson's birthplace
no,
status?
No, nothing. Yeah. Nothing so far. The new administration's not dealing with this yet.
Courtney, do you have anything?
No, I don't have a report. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, item 16 is update on archaeological site damage at the border. Peter?
Nothing very new. We continue to have tribal monitors working in various places along the border in Arizona. An item of concern that some of you, I'm sure, have read in the paper is President Biden waiving environmental laws for 20 plus miles of fence construction in Texas. And this has raised concern. Congressman Grijalva has issued a strong statement on this, opposing this. We don't know if the administration is going to start doing this in Arizona again yet. Right now, it's only for a 20-mile area in Texas, and it is arousing strong opposition in Texas. The only other thing I also had to say was based on something someone was saying earlier, about power lines above ground, underground. The nation is opposed underground power lines for the amount of destruction they cause to archaeological sites. There was a big project on Silver Bell Road in which over 500 burials were disturbed by underground road work. And then there was a proposal to put a power line through there. So I think on these power lines above ground, underground, there needs to be careful surveys done to make sure there's not large village sites there that may contain hundreds of burials that would be disturbed by plowing through it underground. That's why the nation has supported and testified on some projects in opposition to going underground with the power lines. That's all.
Thank you, Peter. Okay. The next item is Commissioner Summary of Current Events. I just wanted to ask before others start, Joel, Jan, and Ricky, will you be on plans review tomorrow?
Joel? Yeah, I responded to
Oh, right. Okay.
Already.
Yeah, Joel?
Yes, I will be there at 1 o'clock.
Okay, Jan?
Yes, I'll be there.
Okay, great. So then you've got everyone responding, right, Jody?
Correct.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much. That just saves time, everyone. I appreciate it. Okay, anyone current events to any current event they want to share?
This is Helen. I wanted to let people know to save the date if this interests you. The Butterfield National Historic Trail Association, the Arizona chapter is meeting for the first time in Tucson on January 24th from 11 to 1. This is an organizational meeting. And we will have people from SHPO there, National Park Service, the National Organization for the Butterfield National Historic Trail. And of course, the trail, for people who don't know, runs through Pima County and through Tucson. This will be held at the Kinsey Douglas Center, and I will have more information as we get closer to the date. But that is January 24th, 11 to 1.
Great. Thank you. And then we had Ken.
Yeah, I just wanted to look. I'm pretty sure it's 10 to 1, but the Presidio Museum that's reactivating, taking on Fort Lowell and the reconstructed officers' quarters and things, they're going to have an event this Saturday. I think it's 10 to 1, sort of Fort Lowell days, and have some interpretive things and talking about Walter Reed and his involvement there. And so you can go to the Presidio Museum website and get more updates. It should be another nice event. They have the faro dealer there again this Saturday. So anybody who wants to get their faro skills improved, you might want to go to that. So another nice event as it's starting to reopen the Fort Lowell area.
Great. Thank you, Ken. Tim. Yeah.
It's not a current event. It was more a question of anybody. I was at my bank, the Chase Bank, over on Campbell, north of Grant there, and they're leaving that location, and it's one of those old Valley National banks. And so I don't know what's becoming of that building, but it's always concerning when a longtime tenant leaves, and it's a bank, so there's limited sort of uses unless it, gets changed. So if anybody knows anything, I'll look into it if I can find out any information, but just thought I'd make people aware.
Thank you. Jody, is that something you would know about?
I don't know about it, but I will say that I bank at Chase, and I got a letter for the one that's on downtown, the Chase Bank downtown, that they're also closing that location. They don't own that building anymore. I had talked to somebody about it, but they don't own the building anymore. And I guess it's just not feasible for them to be there, because it's a really big location, but it seems like they're kind of selectively closing out banks.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Ken, did you have something else?
Yeah.
You're on mute.
I'm off mute. I just wanted to do a comment. The downtown Chase Bank, that's a very excellent building. Sometimes Pima County seems to own a lot of downtown. I wonder if they're aware, or Pima County might want to acquire that building for more office space. So just a thought. But that's a really one of our better quality buildings on stone.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else for current events? Okay. Tim, were you done or is your hand still just up? You're on mute.
I am done.
Okay. Great. Thanks. All right. Let me see. Item 18 is called to the audience. Carla, were any comments received by the deadline?
We haven't received anything through our city clerk, so no information.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Item 19 is thoughts on inclusivity. I thought that Jennifer's presentation was a really nice reminder to us of the persistent contributions and extensive contributions of African Americans in the community. So I thought that was a good thing. Okay, item 20 is schedule and future agenda items. Please get them to me no later than October 22nd to be considered for the November 8th agenda. Okay, anyone have an agenda item at this time? Can be in touch with me. Okay, so if there's nothing else, I will adjourn the meeting at 1:41. And I wonder if Carla and Anna can stay on because I have a question. So, okay. Thanks, everyone. I appreciate your time.
Bye.
Bye, thank you.
Terry.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Terry, can I? This is Sandy.
Yes, what do you
need? One question. I just wanted to apologize for being so late.
Oh, that's okay, because I figured since I didn't hear from you that you weren't feeling well.
Yeah, thank you for the help.
Oh, no worries.
Everybody, be well.
Thank you, Sandy. You too.
Don't get booed at Halloween.
Okay. Bye. So Carla and Anna, when do we have to have this agenda or the LAR posted?
It should be done within 3 days. So, I'm not going to be here Monday or Tuesday, but I'm going to work, diligently to get it ready by Friday.
And then just remind me then if I send it to Anna for any further corrections, if you're not, you know, if I can't get to it on Friday.
Okay.
Okay, so then today's Wednesday, so Thursday, Friday, so it has to be posted Monday. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. And again, I'm sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you. We're going to have the services this weekend, so it was unexpected.
Yeah, I just lost a close relative, and it was unexpected, and it's always very shocking.
Yeah. So, yeah, my condolences.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, take care, everyone. Thank you very much.
You too.
You too, bye-bye. Terry.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Take them off.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.